we start today's share with sadness over what's happened in Eretz Yisrael, and we daven for the safety and security of everybody in Eretz Yisrael and the whole world. And these are dangerous times. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about what's called, I learned the new word this week, anticipatory anxiety, which is worrying about what's to come. So we should daven the Ribbono Shel Olam, and our tefillahs and our Torah should be a schus. I'd like to make today's shir Zecher Nishmas three people. The first is my wife's grandmother, Blima Bas Mordechai HaKohen, who was, her 50th yahrzeit was last week, Yud Zayin Sivan, and she was somebody who my wife just knew a little bit as a child, but she's Mamsha, they say, Frazata Shiyid from the Haim, who was a good Baba. And unfortunately this week passed away a very choshev Rav in Muncie, Alter Mordechai Ben Don, who's a brother of somebody I daven with, and he was one of the Rabbi Berg, Reuven Berg, was one of the choshev Rabbanim of Muncie. And also Shendel Esther Bas Yitzchak Isaac, who was nifta last week, was also a Holocaust survivor. She's 94 years old and went through the camps and maintained her amuna and was a good person. So all of them, they should all be good to betters for us, and our Torah that we learned today should be a schus for the neshama. So this week's sedra is one of the remarkable sedras of the Torah, filled with drama and the shturm and drang, as they say, and it talks about the Meraglim. And the Meraglim were very, very, everybody's trying to analyze the Meraglim and trying to figure out what happened, what went on here. What happened that the Meraglim, who were such great people, should fall?
So I have a little argument. Hashem said, I think, they should check it out in a way.
Okay, but what happened to them? That's in terms of whether Moshe Rabbeinu should have sent the Meraglim. But the question is, why did the Meraglim, where did they fall wrong? So we'll talk about it. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lamar, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, send for you men, V'yasuras Eretz Kanan, and they'll go through the land of Kanan, Asher Ninoisim Livnei Yisrael, Ish Echad, Lamata Avoisim, one person for each Shevet. By the way, there are certain Meforshim that say there were actually 24 Meraglim, because it says Ish Echad. Why is it repeated twice? Because there was the person himself and his adjutant. He had the person that went with him, his Meshoris, that went with him. So there are Meforshim say that there were actually 24 people going, which means it's all the remarkable that nobody noticed them, as we'll talk about shortly, that they made it through, and like 24 people is a lot of people to be walking around and not be noticed. So it says, "Vayishlach Isamayish Midbar Paran Al Pi Hashem Kulam Anoshim Rashi Bnei Yisrael Hema." They were all choshevet people. Says Rashi, the famous Rashi, and there's only a few parts in the Torah that Rashi does this, and we have to understand that itself. Lama nismecha parshas Meraglim parshas Miriam. Why was the parsha of the Meraglim next to the parsha of Miriam? Lefisha loksal iske diba, because Miriam said lashon hara. They were loksal iske diba because they said lashon hara on the land of Israel. Shadiba bacher, she said lashon hara about her brother Moshe. Rishayim halalu ro'u, and they saw it, the loy lachu musar, and they didn't take a lesson from it. I would like to propose, in Yitz Hashem, during the course of this year, another reason, perhaps, why the two parshas are next to each other. What else could be learned, not just from what Miriam, but we'll see there's something else that we can learn from it. So, let's begin. And if you take a look, in Pasuk Chof, says, I'd like to say something from Rav Galinsky. Very, very important nekuda. It's important nekuda really for all of us in our lives. It says, "Maha aretz asher hu yashiba." Moshe Rabbeinu gives advice, and he says, "Listen, this is how I want you." He gives his orders. This is how I want you to go out and you look over Eretz Yisrael, and I want you to take a look about the people, the land that is there. Not toivim ra is a good land, bad land. Maha arim asher hu yashiba hena abamachni mitzorim. Are they land which is fortified? Are the cities fortified? Are they not fortified? Pasukhov, Umaha Aretz Hashmeinahi, in this land, is it good land? Imroz, is it Shvacha land? Hayesh ba Eitz im Ayin, if it has a tree or not. Yishazak Makatmi Pri Aretz, and you should bring back from the fruits of the tree, Vayomi may be Kurinov. So the kasha of the Mefarshim you want to know is, what does it say? It says, Hayesh ba'etzimayin. Is there a tree or not? What should it say? Are there trees? You don't want to say, is there a tree? Are there trees? Multiple. Why does it say, is there one tree? And secondly, there's a sort of a steer, there's a contradiction in the pasuk itself. It says, Lukachta mipri aretz, and you should take from the fruit of the trees. So what are you talking about? I mean, unless you say it doesn't mean trees, it could mean other things, but use the lashon of pri, mipri aretz. So Rashi says, the famous Rashi tells us, what does it mean, hayesh ba'etz? Im yesh ba'em adam kosher. If there's a person who's an adam kosher, yagad aleihem, if there's a kosher man, a kosher person, that will shield them, b'schus on hischus. So I asked Rav Galinsky, I don't understand something here. Who are the Canaanim? So Chazal tell us that Canaanim were the worst of the worst. It says, by the Canaanim we say, lo sechaya kol neshama, you're not supposed to leave them alive. Shemaseim shel Canaanim kub kol mikol umas. Right, the Maseim, what the Canaanim do is worse than all of them. And Rashi says, and the ones they captured were the worst of the worst, right? It's like, you know, they like to talk about New York, there's Manhattan, and then there's Times Square, you know, and they get worse and worse as you go into different neighborhoods. So he says over here also, the Canaanim were the worst of the worst. And the Ramban says, Shesedoim necher v'lamalos eretz Yisrael. Sedoim was, why was it destroyed? Kihi mechal nachlas Hashem, because it's part of the nachla of Hashem, it's part of the inheritance of Hashem. Venus of Velis Anche Toiva, the famous Ramban, that the land itself can't take it. It's holy land, and therefore it throws out Toiva. Shatakias Agoy Kulim Ne Toava Sidima Vikiyub Oysam, so therefore it's going to throw them out. So he says, we have a land that is so bad, they don't even deserve to live there. And then it says, and these are the Canaanim, the Mushkosim, and now came their time to leave the world. Their reign is over. On the other hand, who's coming in? Mitzad Sheni B'nai Yisrael is coming with Moshe Rabbeinu at the head, with the Aron Bris Hashem with them, with the Anani HaKovid, with the Bear of Miriam. They're coming with all these wonderful things. And they're all ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Canaanim have to leave Eretz Yisrael. And the Yidden are for sure ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. So what's stopping them? One person. One man. Ish Echad. Says if there's one tzaddik, already they can't come in. Who is that tzaddik? So you say, Eiv. And they're waiting for the Levite. Same thing, what held up, does anybody remember what held up the Mabul? What held up the flood in the time of Noach? There were also Levi held it up for a week. Does anybody remember whose Levi it was?
Mr.
Shell. Mr. Shell, very good. It's Mr. Shell's Levi, right. So same thing. So he says, it's unbelievable, the power of a single person. That's how big the kind of single person. Now he's going to say a chiddush in the Arachayim, which is mind-boggling chiddush. It says that the Gemara tells us that somebody's mezal zebulayim de Torah, somebody who mocks those who learn Torah, and says, my ahani l'rabbonim. What's an apikaris, the Gemara says? Somebody says, my ahani, what good are the rabbonim? L'didhu tanu, l'didhu karu. They learn for themselves, and they learn Mishnah for themselves, they learn Chumash for themselves, they do it for themselves. So he says, the person is being minded that they're coming to greatness, but he says, what's it got to do with me? How does it help me? Says the Chazal Tzanapikaris, you do not know how much helps you. It says by Avram Avinu, that when Avram Avinu fought for Sodom, what did he say? He says, are there 50 tzaddikim, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, right? Says the Arachayim HaKadosh. The Nesod says the Arachayim an amazing thing. Shemitzadike Sedoim Nidrushu Asara. To schus of the Sedoim, you needed 10 tzaddikim. Lamalikolir, to save the city. Aval Iluchai Avram Avinu B'Sedoim. Had Avram Avinu lived in the city of Sedoim, he could have saved the whole city by himself. Had Avram Avinu lived in Sedoim, the whole city would have been saved because it says Tzaddik Yisoid Oilam, that Tzaddik is the Yisoid of the whole world. So Avram Avinu had been there, one person can save the world. So he says, somebody who says, what do we need the Rabban? What did he learn for themselves? He's making a big mistake. Their learning, their bringing Kedusha to the world, saves all the rest of us well. The Yisrael Salanta was famous. He said, Avort, he said, when the younger man, the parish, I don't know if he was referring to somebody specifically, or it just meant somebody sitting and learning in Hasmara, in the city of Eshashuk, the student in Paris, who is about to go off the derech won't cut away from his Yiddishkeit because of it. He'll still, there's a kedusha in the world. If there's that kedusha in the world from one person, so that can save the world. And he brings three very nice examples which we can relate to. The first one says that Eliyahu HaNavi used to have shiurim, he used to learn together with Rishu ben Levi, used to frequent him, he'd ask, Rishu ben Levi would ask Eliyahu HaNavi questions, and that was it. One time, there was somebody who was killed, Nebuch, by a lion 3 miles away from the city where Rishu ben Levi lived, and Eliyahu HaNavi didn't come to him for 3 days. So he says, so that he was upset, why didn't you come to me? He says, somebody was killed. He says, I didn't know about it. He says, but if you've been a big enough tzaddik, it wouldn't have happened. If you would have been Megan, if you would have been who you should be, it would have been Megan on him. So he says, that was the kayach of that one person to do his entire neighborhood. I remember we said here from Shmuel Kamenetsky that I heard him upbraiding somebody, a leader, and who said, when he says, well, what happened with this person? He says, I don't know, they didn't ask me. They didn't come to me. So he says, well, if you're a leader like you should be, you know, you'll know about it. You'll ask them. You just won't wait for them to come to you. You'll reach out to them to find out what's going on. So that's the first case. The second case is the Kohen Gadol. We know the famous thing that the Kohen Gadol, the mother of the Kohen Gadol davens, gives presents to the people so they shouldn't daven. So they said, what's the Kohen Gadol, what's his fault? What did the Kohen Gadol do that they should daven for his death? It says, because he didn't ask. He didn't daven for Rachmanis for the nation. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe he davened and he didn't get answered. You know, maybe, how do you know? How can you say he didn't daven? So he says, that's not the fault alone that he didn't daven. It's if he was a good enough Kohen Gadol, nobody would have been murdered on his watch. Things wouldn't have happened this watch. And finally, he says, there's a Gemara that says by Chizkiyahu HaNavi that when Sanherib was coming to attack, so Chizkiyahu HaMelech went, and it says, Notz Cherev Chodeb Beis HaMedrash. He took a sword, he put it down the Cherev Beis HaMedrash, and he said, anybody who doesn't learn in this Beis HaMedrash, he's going to get the sword in him. So they asked the question, why did he put it in the Beis HaMedrash? And the Beis HaMedrash is where everyone's learning anyway. Why didn't he put it out in the Chais in 7-Eleven, you know, and put the sword there and make sure everyone should come out from the store and come and learn? Why did he put it into the Beis HaMedrash? So he says, because if the people in the Beis HaMedrash are learning the way they should, the Ruach goes out into the street. There's a Ruach of Tshuva, there's a Ruach of Torah. That is up to the one person. And that's the Kayach of the person who's the Tzaddik, that he really can make an influence on people even if he's not there. Even if he's not there, Hashem gave a Kayach in the world that he sort of puts out vibes into the Bria, somehow it goes out there. And when I would say even more so, especially today where we have books and we have tapes and we have things like that, the Tzaddik doesn't even have to be alive to influence us. Tzaddik's schuz goes even if the tzaddik's not here anymore. But he said a shir and everyone listened to the shir. They read a story about him, you hear a story about a tzaddik, and you're inspired. So the kayach of the Ish Echad can make differences, can even save the Jews from coming who wanted to come into Eretz Yisrael. And the Knanim were ready to leave, but one tzaddik is alive, you can't come in. Hayesh bo eitz, and that's what the eitz chayim hi l'machzikim bo. The Torah is called the eitz chayim. The Torah is what gives us our chiyus. And that Torah can make a difference, can bring chayim to the whole world. Everybody in the world is influenced by that Torah. So we see the kayach of the yachid, and we have to think, you know what it says, we all have to feel that we have that kayach, because it says that everybody has to see the world as if it's half chayiv and half on one side, the side of schus, and half the side of chiyuv. We have to all look, and it's right in the middle. And we're the one person in the world that can tip it to the other side. And we'll talk about that in Mirat Hashem later, but we see this Kayach, Hayesh Ba'etzimayim. Avram Avinu bin Sadaim, they couldn't have turned it over. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Let's take a look a little bit farther. And we start talking about what the Meraglim said. What was there? We're trying to understand now the Meraglim. So one of the things, we're going to say two pshat a minute, and then in Mirat Hashem, I'd like to say my chiddush in answering why Parsha Miriam is next to the Parsha of the Meraglim. So let's take a look at Pasuk Yud Lamed Beis. Vayaitzi dibas ha'aretz. They gave off the bad report on the land. Asher Taroso b'nei Yisrael lemar It's a land that eats its inhabitants. We saw there were big people. We saw us in the field. We felt like grasshoppers in their eyes, and that's how we were in their eyes. So the question was that all the Mefarshim want to know in Pasuk Lamed Beis, what does it mean? It's Eretz Ocheles Yosheveha. Why did they think that it's a land that consumes its inhabitants? Says Rashi, Bechol Makam Shavarnu, every place we went, Matsanu Kivrei Mason, Kovrei Mason, we find they were burying dead people. Kadosh Baruch Hu Asa Toiva. Hashem did it for good, kedei latar them ba'avelim, to make them, they were so busy with the veils. In other words, they didn't have time to go in and guard the borders and watch out for Meraglim. That's one of the ways they slipped in. How they slipped in, we said before there were 24 of them. How did they slip in? So the answer is they slipped in because they were so busy with this. Hashem did them a great favor. But they didn't look at that. In other words, they looked at everything in a negative fashion. They took a look. Hashem made it. There should be the Leviyas, non-stop Leviyas. They didn't look at that. And the question is, what happened to them? The fruit was big, delicious, beautiful fruit. And there, everything they look at the wrong way. So Mordechai Kamenetsky will say a story that we once said here. Analyze the complaints of Meraglim, you find emerging pattern of skewed vision. They saw fruit big and beautiful. It had to be carried in double pole, yet they viewed it as an indication of giant produce. Means that they were they're probably genetically modified or something, and that's why they're so big and they're not healthy, we can't eat it, So indicative of the degree of food matter that nourished the powerful physical giant adversaries. So everything they look at bad, what happened to them? How did they end up like this? Rashi Alfa Yisrael Hema. So I'm going to say Tupshat. So he says like this, he tells a story that in the 1950s there was a large soup consortium, stores across the United States and Canada, decided to take their business venture to the emerging continent of Africa. So they sent two salesmen to sell shoes to the natives. So the first one sends back right away, I'm returning home at once, no for business, nobody here wears shoes. So he left, nobody's wearing shoes. The second guy, they didn't hear from for a few weeks, and then he says, send 15,000 pairs of shoes at once. I have leased space for 5 locations. We'll open a chain of stores. This place is filled with opportunity. Nobody has shoes. So two people look at the exact same thing, right? If you're in sales, you'll understand. If you're not in the sales, you probably won't. They have shoes, so they don't. Nobody wears shoes, right? It's like selling coals to Newcastle, right? Mm-hmm. They say one of the greatest marketing coups of all history was bottled water. How did they get people to turn into a $50 billion industry, something you could get for free? That was godless. In the marketing, that's what they look at godless. How do you sell bottled water? So it doesn't make sense. So it depends. If you're a person with a positive vision, you look at it positively. I remember, there was a couple that we were having a conversation with, and one spouse was known as a notorious pessimist. And the other one was known as a Pollyanna. Everything is good, everything is fine. And somebody asked them a question, do you think we should do this? And one spouse, they spoke at the same time, said no. The other one said yes, at the exact same time. And everyone was laughing. Because they right away, the pessimist is no. Because that's their brain is no brain. And the other one said yes brain. That's the way people are. That's why you need both in a shidduch. You need to have a little bit of a balance, as Eish Deit and Chazal. So he said, so we see that Indian that they came in with that attitude, they came with a pessimism. And what's interesting is, they were offset by Yeshua and Kalev. But it's 10 against 2. So when the people heard 10 are pessimistic, and 2 are optimistic, and 1, remember 1 is possible because Yeshua was the student of Moshe Rabbeinu. So of course he's going to say yes because he's Moshe Rabbeinu's student. That's why he couldn't say anything. You don't find Yeshua say anything. Kalev does. Because everyone would take Yeshua, right, of course you're going to say that, you're his vice president, of course, you're his mamala makam, you're the next in charge, so of course you're going to say that. So therefore we see that there's a pessimism and there's an optimism, and unfortunately the Meraglim chose the derech of pessimism, and in that derech you don't get that far. So there has to be, when we do a big thing, we have to have an optimism. And we'll talk about why were they pessimistic, and we'll get to that. Why were they? You ask yourself, okay, it's a nice pshat. They're not optimistic, they're pessimistic. But what caused them to be pessimistic? And we'll get to that. So I'd like to share with you now a nachanekuda that to answer our first question by Rabbi Yochanan Zwag, and then we'll answer the question. The question we had was, is it says, Lama Nismacha Parshas Meraglim LeParshas Miriam, to tell us that she spoke Lashon Hara and they spoke Lashon Hara, and they should have learned. So he says like this, he asked the question, he says, I understand something. These were Gedolim. They didn't learn Chafetz Chaim. I mean, they have Chafetz Chaim yet, but they didn't know Halchus Lashon Hara. You needed Miriam to tell them Lashon Hara is Aser. They knew Lashon Hara is Aser. So what is the big chiddush over here that they learned from Miriam that Lashon Hara should be Aser? And they gave this tremendous negative account. He says, so what's the pshat? How do we understand it? So he says, and that's why we just learned, it says, what did they say Lashon Hara on? They said Lashon Hara on Diba Sa'aretz. It makes an interesting thing. If you look at the pasuk, it's very fascinating. It says, "Vayotziu dibas saaretz asher taro sal bnei Yisrael." Lemer aaretz asher avarnu b'losar so eretz ocheles yoshvehi. We say, what does Rashi say? If you take a look at Rashi, lom in this parashat Miriam, lefi shelok sal iske dibas shedibra b'achever shoyim lo ro lo kumusar. What did they talk about? They talked about land. Why didn't the Rebbeinu Shlom say that what their avera was? Is that they didn't? Why didn't they say they didn't believe in Hashem? Vayotzei diba sa'aretz. It should say vayotziu diba keneged Ribbono Shel Olam. Why does the Dafka mention that they spoke wrong about Eretz Yisrael? So if we go back in the parsha before, at the end of Baloyscha, it's very interesting. What does it say right after Miriam spoke? Let's take a look. It's in page 413. They spoke Lashon Hara, okay? And they said, Harak ach b'Moshe dibra Hashem. He spoke only with Moshe, lo gambanu. And what does the next pasuk say? Va'ish Moshe anam mi'od mikol adam asher p'nei adam. And that's it. And then the pasuk stops. And that's the end of this parsha. What does Va'ish Moshe anam mi'od have to do with their talking Lashon Hara? Why was that brought in there? And what does this have to do with the Meraglim, who spoke Diba Sa'aretz? They spoke about something live, and they spoke about something that's inanimate. So maybe they'll say, well, over there, she spoke about a human being, she spoke about a brother, he felt bad, he felt terrible. Whereas the land doesn't know the difference. Why are we being punished for the land? The land can't talk. Maybe there's a difference. So listen to what he says. One second, listen to what he says. So in last week's parasha, immediately after, he says like this, what is the connection between the two psukim of Ish Maish Anamayv? Speaking Lashon Hara is generally portrayed as being Adam Chavero. The heinous nature of the sin reflected by its antisocial repercussions. Although the aforementioned is valid, Torah is revealing something new over here. The most destructive force which is unleashed when we engage in Lashon Hara is not that. It's the damage we do to ourselves. The Torah records the exceedingly humble nature of Moshe immediately after Miriam's criticism. Teaches he's completely unaffected by the comments. It didn't hurt him. He was like the land. He was the same as Haaretz. The damage caused by Miriam's words was the damage she caused herself. Lashon Hara has caused a proud transgressor to die. This is reflected by Tzaras. Why is Tzaras so beautiful? Why is Tzaras the punishment for Lashon Hara? Because what is Tzaras? Tzaras where the skin dies. So to show that the person who speaks Lashon Hara killed part of themselves, they're dying inside. It's not only the damage they do to the other person. Don't think that's just the damage to the other person, but the person being lashon is undamaged. That person's dying too. And therefore, that's why they get saras, the dead flesh, a natural byproduct of transgression. Therefore, Miriam, when he pleaded with Moshe, what did he say? Alti kameis, don't make her like a mace. What was his feeling? He said, don't make her like a dead person. What do you mean, a dead person? Well, who said she's a dead person? So we think, okay, the sermon means alti kameis, don't make her because she spoke lashon hara, that's the end of her. She spoke lashon hara, he says, now dead. So he says, that's where we find them. They spoke ala aretz. And the question is, what's the difference? So Aretz and this is a live person. Of course there's a difference between them. The answer is, Ish Maish Anamiyai. When she spoke, she didn't speak against anybody either. She was spoken as if she was speaking about the land. To him, it washed the water off his back. And therefore, that's why the pasuk Ish Maish Anamiyai comes, and that's how you can juxtapose the two. You can compare the sin of the Meraglim to the sin of Miriam, because they were both speaking about inanimate objects, ultimately, so to speak. I would like to say something, and I'd like to say another thing that I think will sort of the Meraglim, and will also answer our question about why the Meraglim are so pessimistic. Where did the pessimism come from? So, let's go back to this pasuk, Vish Baisha Adabiyai. So in a different vort, we said we were going to say this last week, and now we know that Rebbe Shem held it till this week because it answered all these kashas. So we're going to say it like this. Why is it Ish Maisha Anam Yod Mikol Anam? He says, how is it possible Maisha Rabbeinu could be an Anam? Let's be honest. Maisha Rabbeinu spoke with the Rebbe Shem, and the Rebbe Shem spoke back. They were talking to each other. Maisha Rabbeinu went up to receive the Torah. How can we see he's an Anav? How can he be humble? How can he say, Maisha knew he was much bigger than everybody else. Where was this Anivus? So he says, a great shot. There's a Gemara, the Mishnah at the end of Sight that talks about how things are lost from the world when certain people died. And one of the things it says, Mishameis Rebbe bat la nova. When Rebbe died, that was the end of humility. No more humility. Humility was lost in the world because Rebbe was the great, the humble person. And there was, after that, nobody achieved that level. So the Gemara says, Amr Reb Yosef, Sir Reb Yosef said, Vikana, but what about me? I'm also none of. I'm also a very humble person. How can you mention me? Now this is pretty funny because you know everyone laughs and says, what do you mean? Well, that's humility? What did he mean by that? What was he saying? So he says like this, he explains there's another Gemara about Reb Yosef. Reb Yosef talks about the holiday of Shavuos, the Yontav of Shavuos. Says, Ilav Hayoima, if it wasn't that day of Matan Torah, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. There would have been many Joes in the street. Right, Yosef. So, there were many Yosef in the street. I would have just been another Joe, another person. Says, so I love the Torah because the Torah made me into Rav Yosef, to the great person I am, made me. Otherwise, I would have been out there and just been another Yosef. So the Kasha is asked, he was a genius of geniuses, the smartest person in the generation. He would have just been another Yosef? Come on, he would have been the president of Harvard. He would have been Nobel Prize winner. He would have been a great person. What does that mean? How do we understand he would have just been another Yosef? What was he trying to tell us? So he brings from the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim says, I don't understand why a rich person who has fields and all these things which are not near him, and maybe half of it's borrowed money and mortgage, and he feels like a rich person. And the bank teller, who's got millions of dollars going through his hands, and he's sitting there with all the crisp bills, why does he not feel rich? The answer is, he says, easy. The bank teller knows he's a pakid. He's not the messenger, he's the person in charge. He's just the official in charge. So he knows he doesn't own it, he's just, the officer on duty. He says, but the Gvir thinks he really owns it. He says, but if the Gevir knew that his purpose was just to watch this money for the Rebbeinu Shlom, he would have a whole different view in life. He says, from the Vilna Gaon, it says, the famous pasuk, Al Yishal Chacham B'Chachma, so let the Chacham not be in his guide, his Chachma, by Yishal Agibur B'Gvuras, and the Gibur should not be in his Gvura, by Yishal Asher B'Asher, the rich man should not, praise himself over his wealth. When Kim B'Zois Yishal Amisal, this is when you should praise yourself. If you know the Rebbeinu Shlom. What does that mean? It means that if it's okay to be rich. If you know the purpose of why Hashem made you wealthy is to do good in the world. It's okay to be strong. If you know the purpose of strength is to give you the way to serve Hashem by doing good things with your strength. All of these are good things, but only if you know it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, and that's what Rabbi Yosef in effect was saying. Rabbi Yosef in effect was saying, if I was out in the street, I wouldn't have known my purpose in life. I wouldn't have known how to lead life. I wouldn't know how chashuv it is. I would just thought another very smart person. Now I appreciate who I am because I have the Torah. And that's what it says, Kami Yosef Yishukah. So when he said, Avika Ano, we'll see what he meant. It says from Yisrael Salanter, Yisrael Salanter said on himself, he says, I'm as smart as 1,000 people. Imagine that? I'm as smart as 1,000 people. But what that means for me is I have to have the output of 1,000 people. If I'm as smart as 1,000 people, I have a big achrayas. Says a story, his wife once bought a lottery ticket. Rabbi Salanter was very poor. His wife bought a lottery ticket. You gotta be careful when you're married to Rabbi Salanter. So he says, let me ask you something. You bought a lottery ticket, yeah. What prize do you want to win? She says, well, the biggest one, the 100,000 ruble prize. So he says, I want you to know that when Hashem gives you money, he doesn't give it to you to enjoy. He gives you to watch and to guard and to use. And the more money you have, the harder it is, because the more achrayas you have. If we would have this much money, he says, there's not enough, we can buy all the food in the world. I mean, you can't spend 100,000 ruble. So you know what's going to mean when we have that 100,000 ruble? He says, I'm going to end up having to become the Gabbai of Kovna, the Gabbai Tzedakah of Kovna. If there's a child who's sick in the hospital, they don't have money to pay the bills, I got to pay the bill now. If there's a woman who's having a hard time in the hospital, labor, I have to pay for her birth, for giving birth. I have to now take care of everything because I have all this money. He says it's a big achrayus. The more you've got, the harder it is. And he says it's not just in money, it's like that. It's also in brains. Said Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the more you have, the more achrayus you have. So who is the most humble a person? The more a person has, the more humble they are, because they're humbled by the fact that they understand that they have a big achrayus. If you're the janitor, you just take care of, you know, whatever you got to take care of. If you're the head of the company, you could lose $1 billion on your thing. It's a lot scarier. You don't sleep as well at night. You know, the janitor finishes up what he's doing, he goes home and he feels good. The person who's in charge, he goes home and it's scary. So he says, this was Rabbi Yosef. What Rabbi Yosef was saying is, I'm an honor because I know that Hashem gave me this kaychus, and every day I live in fear that I'm not living up to those kaychus. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, I know what I'm not stupid. I know I'm a genius. Right? I guess that goes together. I know I'm very smart, but the more smarter I am, the more achrayus I have. So just like you have more money, you have more achrayus. You have more brains, you have more achrayus. So who was the biggest honor? Moshe Rabbeinu probably lived in fear every single second. I'm the person who went to talk to Hashem Pel Peh. I'm the person HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to. I'm scared every minute. Am I using it? Can I lay down for 10 minutes now? In those 10 minutes, who knows what kind of Torah is going to be lost to the world if I lay down? So Moshe Rabbeinu was the honor Mikol Adam because he was the person who understood how great he was. And I'd like to say, Efshar, that this was what afflicted the Meraglim. And that's why the two parshas are together. The Meraglim did not understand the word Anav. They understood in the classic sense. Ver binich, I'm a nobody. So they went into Eretz Yisrael, and everything that happened, they looked through that lens of who am I, I'm nothing. And it affected them. So everything they saw scared them. I can't do it. But if they'd been like a Moshe Rabbeinu, they'd say, no, I have kaych. This is really when you take a look. And that's what Kalev was saying. Vayas Kalev. And Kalev said, no, we can do it because Hashem's behind us. It doesn't matter who we are, Hashem's behind us. So therefore, they said the Meraglim should have been able to, they had the Anav of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Anav of Rabbi Yosef, the Anav of Yisrael Salanter. They would have that kind of Anav where they said, we're great. And the Anav is, I'm scared because of what that greatness means. But I can do it. I can accomplish. I can commentary. So I can knock them off because my Kedusha is greater than their Kedusha. So therefore, it says, Laman Nisma Parash Meraglim to Parash Miriam, Avada, what Rashi said is true. It's Rashi. But maybe also another part of that parsha is the pasuk Yishmaish Anav Miyoid, that they should have looked and they should have said, that's what Anav is. Anav doesn't mean I'm nothing. Anav means fakir. I'm everything. I should be scared of being everything because it comes to me with an achrayus. And that's what I'd like to say is the thing. Let me just finish with one thing. Last week, this will take 2 seconds. I'm trying to go fast. So it says that I told Rabbi Kokas, I was telling you, I said over about the, I mentioned him about the Lamashinim for it. So he said something very nice. He says in bells, in Eretz Yisrael, so somebody gave a big schmooze about how you can't hit kids anymore and you have to be nice to them and, you know, that the world has changed and we have to do this. And somebody came to the Belzer Rebbe and he was very upset and he tells the Belzer Rebbe, a chutzpah, doesn't he know what it says? So Eretz Pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech said, you know, Chayzer B'nai, Yasser, Chayzer Shifta, Yasser B'nai, that if you don't hit the kid, it's no good. And this is the way Derek Sabin, this is how we did it in Europe, and that the raw, you know, and he's giving it a hard time. Listen to what the Belzer Rebbe said, which is genius. Suck the Belzer Rebbe. He says, you know what it says in last week's Seder? We were just talking about Moshe and Miriam. So it says, Vayayimra Hashem al Moshe v'aviyah yorek yorak b'faneh halosi kolim. If he spits in her face, won't she be embarrassed? He says, wow, that's tough. He says, but let's take a look how Targum Unklus translates it. He doesn't say yorok yorakaya, you know, which is some lashon of Targum. He says, nezuf nezufi. He put her in like nezif. It's like you take a person and it's like the type of cherem. It doesn't say he spit at her anymore. So he says, Targum Unklus, which came 1,000 years after the Torah, didn't translate as spitting. He translated as to put her in like, push her away. 1,000 years later, Rashi came. And how does Rashi translate it? Rashi says, Herlo Panim Zoafas. He looked at her not nice. 1,000 years later. So you have the Torah says he spit. The Targum says he put her in Chayim. And Rashi says he gave her a not bad face. Which was 1,000 years after Targum. We're 1,000 years after Rashi. So how can we do these things? You see that the Dairis have gone in such a way that each one went either, the Dairis says like this, Onklitz, which is Tarish Baal Peh, said it lighter. Rashi says even lighter, where 1,000 years later we got to really be easy with everybody, and that's how we have to deal with people. So we see that we have to look in the Torah, fakba, the kulaba, everything we have, how to deal with people, how to deal with talmidim, how to deal with, it's all in here. You just have to be a belted rebbe, you have to be a tzaddik to be able to see it, what it says in here, and to notice these things. We should only go in simchas and only hear good things from Eretz Yisrael, from Yidden around the world.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it from now on permanently?
No. I have. One second. I have Leviathan. I apologize. I have a Leviathan today at 2:00 in Brooklyn. So, we were Gedalia Weinberger's mother was nifter. So there's a, he was former chairman of the board of the Gedalia Weinberger. From Tar Vadas. His mother was nifter. So I apologize. I had the Leviathan, so we made the shear so I could go to Brooklyn.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you have to add her to the. Yeah. Okay, anyway, thank you all for coming.
With my parents.
His mother, what?
Yeah, my mother was
from.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, I appreciate you being able to make it early.
I like the time.
Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday.
She's over.
Yes.